everybody. This is B on Dot Paul Podcast. So let's talk about books today. I didn't think this would be a huge topic. I asked a couple of people, and like, oh yeah, you should talk about books, and you should talk about this book, and this book is better than this book, and like, okay, here we go, it's on. So everybody knows what a book is, obviously. I hope, you know, if you remember hardcover books or, softcover books, most people read books in the summertime when they go on vacation. I've known people, and they don't read a book any other time. It's like they buy a book, don't look at it, or maybe read the first chapter to get engaged with the story. And then before you know it, you're on vacation and you look over and they got the book and they won't put the book down. And that's all they do is read the book. And of course, other activities there in the vacation time. So I always found that intriguing, and then come back from vacation, go, hey, where's the book? And if you've ever been to a resort or a vacation spot, a lot of times, you know, they'll have swap a book or, you know, lend a book. And a lot of people will just leave the book there in the quote unquote library for the next traveler to come along. I've read a couple books that way. That's not bad. Not bad at all. I have to say that the books that I've left, I signed my name to them and the date, you know, the month and the year, you know, kind of like, B was here. anyway, so if you're out there on vacation and you see a book from B, how you doing? Okay, so, you know, most popular books, now that's a challenge. You got to go to the AI and ask the AI most popular books. And you'll get, you know, answers, you know, Don Quixote. Of course, you know, it's one of the greatest works of fiction, 17th century Spanish novel. Adventures of, you know, a Delusional Knight, you know, Don Quixote. Tale of Two Cities. This is one of my favorite books. I have the large unabridged Charles Dickens, which means, you know, it's written in his style and his language of the time, and it's tough, but it's so good. French Revolution. It's a historical novel. You know, love, sacrifice, and redemption. And yes, yes, yes. of course, Lord of the Rings by Tolkien, epic fantasy. It's a trilogy, of course, and of Frodo Baggins and his companions to destroy the one ring and save Middle Earth. That is the synopsis. And, you know, I was a huge fan of Bilbo Baggins and Frodo Baggins back in the 70s. You know, that was kind of considered counterculture at the time. But I did read Lord of the Rings. And then, obviously, right before the movies came out, I knew individuals that were a little more learned and smart about literature than me. And we started rereading the Lord of the Rings. And I bought the audiobooks, too. And when I relocated out to California in 2001, I listened to those. And fascinating. The miles just went away listening to that. But you got to be careful that you don't run out of gas, FYI, literally in the car. Harry Potter, never got into it. I've seen a couple of the movies, you know, Young Wizard, and right there I'm out. You know, it's fictional. I think it's a pretty good read. I think the movies are a little I don't know. They're a little silly for me. Yeah, grown ass man when these things came out. So not really a Potter fan. Obviously, Kill a Mockingbird. You know, that's in the American South. And my mother gave me that book and wanted me to read it. So I did. Racial Injustice. Through the eyes of a Scout Finch, you know, a young girl. And it's a heartbreaking, made me cry. I remember that as a boy. Yeah, glad my mama gave that to me. Pride and Prejudice. Why can't I say that? Jane Austen book. You know, it's a romantic novel. Social class, love, marriage, you know, in 19th century England. Now, 1984, that and Animal Farm and Fahrenheit, what's it, Fahrenheit 151, I believe. Is it? Yeah, Fahrenheit, I forget. Great books. I'm a big Orwell fan. And looks like he's totally nailed all of that here in our current times. He was so right about so many things. Big Brother, Newspeak, Surveillance and Propaganda. I would say everybody should read 1984. It's a pretty good movie on it. I would read the book first, and then I would watch the movie. That's typically how I do things. So when I'm watching the movie, I kind of know what's going on. Great Gatsby. I think everybody knows that title and people throw that out. I've never read The Gatsby and I've never owned the book. You know, the Roaring Twenties and, you know, I don't know a lot about it. You know, the glitter and morally bankrupt lives of the wealthy in America. It's probably just like now. It's just in the 20s instead of the 21st century. Catcher in the Rye. I have read Catcher in the Rye. It is a coming of age novel. Mr. Holden Caulfield. It's resonated with a lot of people. A lot of people have used that story to do, in my opinion, bad things. Terrorism, justify their acts. I don't think the book is about that and the story is about that. But there is, you know, coming of age, and typically with that is, you know, feeling cut off, you know, neglected from society and feeling alone. So I think that's what a lot of people read into that and use that as a quote-unquote excuse to do whatever they do. Obviously, the Bible. Yeah. You know, the religious texts of Christianity, you know, the Old Testament, the New Testament, or the Gospel, as it's called. You know, I've had a copy of the Bible in my home and around me my entire life. As a boy, I didn't get it. I wanted to live and I wanted to, you know, hang out with girls and I wanted to, drive cars and do all of that. And all that stuffy stuff in the Bible really didn't speak to me, you know, and I was raised Methodist. And if you know anything about, the Methodists, we're kind of the slackers. I think a lot of people that are raised Methodist, they kind of go over to Baptist, and some people even, you know, go all the way and, you know, they go up to Utah and do the whole thing up there with those folks. But, you know, a wise man once told me, even if you don't believe in all this supernatural stuff, read the parts in red in the New Testament, Jesus's words and what he said, and try to live by that. Take out the fact temporarily that he was the Son of God and go for it. So I started doing that, and some pretty good ideas there, Jesus. And then, you know, you start to wonder, you can't be, how did this guy come up with this? It's the word of God. That's how he came up with it. In my opinion. The Bible. A lot of these have left significant impact on literature, popular culture, and people across the globe. And, you know, it's also important to note that popularity can be subjective, and there are numerous other exceptional books that have gotten acclaim in readership. I can't, you know, list them all or go through every book that's ever written that people think are great or needs to be mentioned, because it would just be me reading off name of a couple thousand books. And yeah, that doesn't sound like a very exciting podcast now, does it? I need a water break. Give me a minute here. Tasty. Okay. So, you know, book clubs, maybe you don't know book clubs. My mom was in a book club, and the ladies would come, whatever it was, Wednesday or Thursday, and they would sit around and they would, you know, they had read a chapter or two of whatever book, and then they would discuss it. I've done this in Bible study when I was a young man, and as an older man, talking about concepts and ideas and what that means. And, you know, I like it. You know, I like, you know, it's like, hey, this is about, you know, platypuses and why are they so ornery? The other person go, dude, no, that's totally, you know, about chickens and why they're so delicious. And then it's on. And you talk about the book and you come to a consensus. You know, book clubs are typically, you read a book in a specific time frame. I think my mom and then I think they met probably once every other week, maybe once a month, I don't remember, and they would talk about their books. And then my mom was in the garden club too. That's a whole nother thing. They'd have books about gardening and they'd talk about that, and they drank a lot of coffee. So, you know, it's a social and interactive experience for readers. You know, typically a book, it will pull you in. It's solitary. You don't talk to people about it. You're in your own mind, and it will broaden your literary horizons. One of the things I noticed was whoever chose the book would be totally into it, would leave the meetings until they finished the book. And then the next person in the book club will say, okay, we're going to read, you know, Lord of the Rings, or we're going to read whatever. And, you know, it broadens your literary horizons, because, you know, sometimes you're thinking like, oh man, I don't want to read Romeo and Juliet again. Those kids are crazy. But, you know, you may learn something new, and or it's a book that you never would have read, you know, 1984. And it's a personal growth thing, and it's good to hang with people and be with people. It's kind of been one of my themes of my podcast, is get off the couch, hang out with your friends, your neighbors, you know, do something. Don't rot your brain every day watching the TV box. I know a lot of libraries have book clubs you can sign up for. A lot of cafes do, and coffee places do. Of course, with technology, there's, you know, video conferencing. Everybody can participate no matter where you are, which could be exciting. You know, there's person on the East Coast, person on the West Coast, somebody in the middle, somebody in Canada, eh? You know, somebody in Mexico, somebody here, somebody there. That could be very exciting. I think they're kind of around specific themes and, you know, genres and authors. I think the theme thing, you know, especially if, you know, it's something narrowly focused like horror or sci-fi or 19th century literature, you know, that could be, you know, I like that, you know, or even an author, because, you know, you hear an author's voice and you read an author's voice, and it's good to hear another voice, you know, and to get another perspective, maybe read about the same thing written by someone else, possibly in a different time. It's like, oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. So, you know, discussion groups, all of that can come out of a book club. I personally, if you're fast forwarding through the podcast right now because you think book clubs are boring, you're wrong. I think they're very stimulating. It's good to learn new things and meet people that have similar, you know, interests that you do. So I did a little search on quotes from books. Some of these I know, some of these I do not know. It is a truth universally acknowledged that a single man in possession of a good fortune must be in want of a wife. Jane Austen, Pride and Prejudice. To be or not to be, that is the question. Oh yeah, that's our bro William Shakespeare from Hamlet. It was the best of times, it was the worst of times. Charles Dickens, The Tale of Two Cities. That's why I love that book. In the end, we will remember not the words of our enemies, but the silence of our friends. Yeah, tell me about it. Martin Luther King Jr., Strength to Love. That's very, very heavy. The only way out is through. Robert Frost, Servant to the Servants. I've forgotten about that. Not all those who wander are lost. Tolkien, Lord of the Rings, pretty good quote. I think most people have heard that by now, especially because of the movies. It does not do well to dwell on dreams and forget to live. J.K. Rowling, Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. That's a good one. So It Goes. Kurt Vonnegut, Slaughterhouse-Five. Let's see. The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. Oh, yeah, well said. Edmund Burke, Thoughts on the Cause of the Present Discontents. The greatest glory in living lies not in never failing, but in rising every time we fall. Nelson Mandela, Long Walk to Freedom. Nice. So that's a small selection of some of the memorable quotes that are out on the Google machine and AI. Different quotes resonate with different readers based on personal preferences and experiences. Of course, the popularity of book quotes can also vary over time and may depend on the cultural influences and current events. Okay, and I may need to drink some water. Okay. So you're asking yourself, hey, B, what books have been made into movies? And I just say, I'm glad you asked. All kind of books have been adapted into movies over the years. You know, and filmmakers often find inspiration in literature. And I put inspiration in quotes. A lot of times, screenwriters are too lazy to come up with something new or original. And so they'll just go to the library, and I saw this on PBS or ESPN. What am I saying? What's the government channel? Whatever they were talking to screenwriters, and like, oh, I'll just go down to the wander around the library, and you know, I just randomly pick 5 books and then I sit down at a desk and pad and pencil. And if anything comes to me, go, that's a good idea for a story, a talking frog, or, you know, a flying rabbit, or something about dragons, or, oh, look, medieval knights. And then I personally believe there's nothing wrong with trilogies or part two or part three, but come on, really, part five, part six, stop. Or part 10, stop. Some of the movies made, some of the books we just talked about, To Kill a Mockingbird, Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter, Great Gatsby, Hunger Games, which, you know, the Hunger Games is weird. I did not know a lot about it, but I've enjoyed the Hunger Games, the Hunger Games movies. I've rewatched them a couple of times, and you got to watch them. I think the word is binge. You got to watch them all together. So if you're not doing anything on a rainy Sunday afternoon, you know, bomb, bomb, bomb. And it's not bad. I also like to watch them with no commercials, no interruptions. But yeah, the Hunger Games was a pretty good science fiction story, I thought. Pride and Prejudice, Chronicles of Narnia. You know, I'm a C.S. Lewis fan. Always have been, and then his ties to, you know, Tolkien. I read the book, and then when the movie came out, it was not bad. The Da Vinci Code, of course, Dan Brown has written some good books. Da Vinci Code was good. I liked it. The book was very good. I thought the book was much better, than the movie. Sorry, Tom Hanks. Gone Girl. I did not read that book, but I did see the movie, disturbing, in several ways. and then, Shawshank Redemption, you know, that's a Stephen King, novelette or novel. I'm not a big Stephen King fan. However, I did like, you know, The Stand, and It. Super scary. I'm not a fan of horror. There's enough horror in the world. I don't need to be reading, fiction about things going horribly wrong. So that's a couple of examples. You know, and it's hard to faithfully represent, you know, source material. They may change the plot, the characters, or any other element. You know, I know, Lord of the Rings came out, there were huge pieces missing from the books. But if I think they would have done that, was it Wingnut Productions in New Zealand? If they would have done that, there would be minimum six movies for Lord of the Rings. Just can't get all of that in on the screen, and I don't think people would have had the patience to watch that much. The director cuts, which I have all those DVDs and I have all the books. Crazy. It's a lot of content and a lot of, when you read those books, it's, you better pack a lunch because you are going to, you're going to be busy. You'll see those disclaimers on TV. This movie's been chopped down for the time that is allotted to play or whatever. Okay. I asked about, because I am a science fiction guy, you know, been watching Star Trek since day one, Star Wars since day one. I like them each for different reasons. I just do. I think with Star Wars, the whole religious undertones of the Force and all of that is, it's a little much sometimes. It gets a little heavy-handed. And then I I like Star Trek because, you know, it's supposed to be the human race in the 24th century, 23rd, 24th, and 25th century, I believe we're up to now. And I find that compelling, especially as a young guy. I grew up in the Cold War, and I remember as a child hiding under my desk. And that's just ridiculous because that ain't going to work. And I never was afraid, but and my dad never dug a hole in the backyard for us to hide in. But I always just thought it was great that, you know, that we would move out into our solar system and then out into our galaxy and then the universe as a whole. Obviously, I will be gone. Maybe there will be a bee out there in a starship doing a galactic podcast. So without further ado, sci-fi books, Dune, of course, great book, 1984, such we mentioned. The Neuromancer, William Gibson books are great. Foundation, you know, I love the Foundation series. They're hardcore. You got to pay attention, but Foundation is great. Foundation is actually on Apple TV. Season one came out last year. Ender's Game, which everybody loves Ender's Game. The only thing I know about Ender's Game is the movie. And it's all right. Brave New World, great, great. Let's see. Snow Crash, Neil Stephenson. Snow Crash is a great book. You know, long before what's The Matrix, there was Snow Crash. Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. So Long and Thanks for All the Fish. What a great, great book. I still have that on paperback, and with a lot of my, you know, I think I have 1984 on paperback in that same book. When I was a younger man, I used to travel a lot, and you know, we would do a gig, and sometimes we would have a day between. You know, we would travel a full day, 24 hours to the next, going from region to region. So we were leaving the South and going to the Northeast. You know, that's kind of a hop. Back then, logistics wasn't that big a deal, and the money the bands made for playing gigs paid for the diesel fuel. It wasn't that nobody complained about it. Complained, but wasn't like it is now. And so I, you know, some people would sleep, some people would drink, some people would gamble. You know, I just wanted to turn my brain off. I didn't want to listen to music. I didn't want to have my ears full of any nonsense. So I would always would, you know, the catering, I would always make sure I've got a couple sandwiches, a couple drinks. And I would read a book. And Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy was one of those books, and I love it. And every time I see that cover, I remember those days. The Left Hand of Darkness, heard about it, haven't read it. Obviously, The Martian, cool. Children of Time, great book. Red Mars, I know of it, I don't know it. Starship Troopers, people say, oh, you should read the book. Dispossessed. Those are just a few examples. There are many out there, and I'm pretty sure I missed one or some kind of subgenre that I missed. And I'll try to get to that next time. But happy reading for sci-fi books. Water time, excuse me. All right. So I had to inquire on the most popular books of the Bible and why. Obviously, this is, so I'll give you mine, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Gospels. You know, there are four books that narrate the life, teachings, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. They are central to Christianity and provide primary accounts of Jesus' ministry. You know, they were there. They wrote it down. And the more you read these, just like, wow. Obviously, Genesis is beautiful because it's, creation, the world, Adam and Eve, Noah and the flood, and the beginning of the Israelite people. It's the ultimate history lesson, if you will. Palms is supposed to be important and very popular. I never got into Psalms, because songs and praise and thanksgiving and worship, a lot of my church going, a lot of the Psalms we would sing, and that's how I know them. I tried reading Psalms, and I guess I'm just too daft to get it. Proverbs was kind of more my style. Teachings and they're attributed to King Solomon, and it's practical guidance, all kind of aspects, life, mortality, wisdom. Some days, I just scratch my head and I can read some Proverbs and go, oh, yeah, cool. The Acts of the Apostles, early history of Christian church and actions of the apostles after Jesus' resurrection, and it will shed some light on the spread of Christianity in the first century, and what they were doing and how they were doing it and the trials and tribulations that they faced. A lot of people, I've heard this, I've read this, and it never really sank into me except for a couple years ago. Why would these people stand up and be ridiculed, and a lot of them were killed, murdered, for something that wasn't true? They, renounce it. Not one of them did. It's a remarkable thing to think about. And let that sink in. Romans, of course, written by the Apostle Paul. Romans, the concept of salvation and the righteousness of God are totally key to Romans. And it's a little heavy, but it's a good read. I'm not a literary scholar or a Bible scholar. So I read a lot of this stuff over and over and over and make notes and underline stuff. Revelation, well, everybody knows Revelation because of, that's when things are going to get heavy. It's the final book of the New Testament, and it's a symbolic work of end times, and the prophecy of end times, and the second coming of Christ, and the ultimate victory of God. And I know people read that because they want to know when the end is coming, and we're just not going to know. So you better be cool, be doing the right thing, because if that happens and you're not, you may be into a little situation, and you don't want to allow that to happen to yourself. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is what I would tell people to read. It's incredible, just totally incredible. I did ask the AI, the machine, this funny little question: what is the one book every human should read? I asked AI this. So AI is, it's a machine, it's learning, it's getting better. But you can tell somebody typed all this stuff in and, scanned all this into it, or its bots went out and read this. So everybody has, challenging tasks, and everybody has diverse interests and backgrounds and preferences. That's usually the first thing AI says when you ask it something it doesn't really know. And then it will say, however, there are several books that offer valuable insights into the human condition, which we talked about the human condition in a previous podcast here on Dot Paul Podcast, Stuff About Stuff. So here is its suggestion. Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl. Now, either this thing is messing with me, because remember, I ask it, what is one book every human should read? So it's autobiographical work by Viktor Frankl, psychiatrist and Holocaust survivor, explores the meaning of life and the pursuit of happiness, even in the face of extreme suffering. You know, Frankl reflects on his experiences in a Nazi concentration camp and presents his psychological framework known as logography. Somebody correct me if I'm saying that wrong, which emphasizes finding purpose and meaning in life. Okay. This book offers a powerful perspective of the resilience of the human spirit and the importance of finding meaning even in the midst of adversity. Now, being in a Nazi concentration camp is beyond adversity. You know, that is a life-threatening 24/7, 365 situation to be in. I can't even wrap my head around that. That is your life. So, you know, it goes on to say, while The Man's Search for Meaning is just one recommendation, there are numerous books that offer valuable insights and perspectives. And, you know, it also says it's worth exploring various genres, philosophy, literature, history, and science, and discover other books that resonate with your interests and provide valuable insights into the human experience. Again, this is AI. It doesn't know how to answer. So it's not going to come back and go, yo, bro, I don't know. It will spit this out. Now, I like this, especially, what is the one book every human should read? The human asks, and the machine answers back, Man's Search for Meaning. I think it's awesome. So that's kind of my rant on books today and kind of the culture of books, book clubs. We didn't really touch on libraries because I think everybody knows what a library is. I have moved a lot and been to different places, you know, logistically, you know, physically and mentally. And, you know, I don't know about you, but when you move, you kind of get rid of stuff. Some things you throw away, some things you donate. It's probably been 12 years now. I found myself with all of these technical journals and books and all this stuff that I had worked on for, you know, for and studied for the first 20 plus years of my career. And I was lugging this stuff around and I'm like, why am I doing that? So I took it down to the box of books. Down to the library, and I just asked the librarian, hey, I have all these books for learn to do this and this and this and this. And she goes, oh, yeah. Young people come in all the time, and they want to know if we have this Microsoft book on how to do this or that. And I thought, well, I have most of them. I gave to the library, and you know, I was talking about earlier when you're out and about on your holidays and you read your book, they typically, there's a place to turn your book in the visitor's lounge or visitor's library. I usually do that. I know I've seen some neighborhoods that have a little cubby, book cubby for people in the neighborhood to drop a book off, take a book, and it's kind of like an impromptu book club. I've never lived in one of those neighborhoods and haven't seen one in a long time, but old school Dallas down south of here and in Dallas proper, the city of Dallas, I've seen them and people still use them And I think it's wonderful. So, you know, find a book, find a friend, have some fun, learn something new. Maybe one of these books that I mentioned, join a book club. You know, go through those quotes I was quoting and look them up, and maybe that will lead you to a book or an author. You know, Shakespeare, Dickens, Martin Luther King Jr., Robert Frost, Tolkien, you know, Rowling, Burke, you know, Mandela, you know, Kurt Vonnegut. I mean, some of these people are giants, you know, C.S. Lewis, Dan Brown. Dan Brown has a lot of books, and they're all just not about the Grail or anything like that. Tolkien, yeah, Scott, you know, F. Scott Fitzgerald. He wrote more than The Great Gatsby. So, you know, I think you would have a good time. And what's the worst that can happen? You learn something new. You have a smile on your face. So, everybody, this has been B on Dot Paul Podcast, Stuff About Stuff. And remember, accelerate with confidence.